podcast saying, this is the same old message. We've been having a learning curve with our mixer and our program, but we figured it out Friday night what we needed to do, and now it's working. So you'll have the message. Whatever message comes forth today will be on the podcast. Amen. So on Nehemiah chapter 1. Verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read out the NIV, and then from there I'm going to go into the passion for revival and rebuilding. Nehemiah's prayer, Nehemiah 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Akila, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Verse 3, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, watch this, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exile people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that it is the very substance that is needed for our spirit man to be awakened and revived for revival. I thank you, Lord, that you have positioned your people to that place that you called us to be, where you said that you will be there as a dwelling place for us. I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. What I want to share with you is what Nehemiah did when he heard that the walls had been broken down. Now, I want you to see something here in verse 1. What month was it? Kislev. And what actual month is that? Numbers? 9. Number 9 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, he gets this word from the servants that are coming, and he tells them, how are the people that have returned back to Jerusalem? What is he saying? There is a people that are coming back to God. How are they doing? Are you hearing this? This is a prophetic message. That's why I want to get it out. There is a season that we get exiled. We get excommunicated from where we're at, of our position in our walled cities. We get pushed away. Why do we get pushed away? Because we turn from God. We didn't follow his commands. We didn't stay faithful to him. We turned from him. So we get exiled. We get pushed to other most parts of the world. Now, what happens is in this thing, now he says they're being called back. But they're being called back into a place that their walls have come down. They have been burned. Those walls represent security. If you ever go into a township, you ever go into a city, if they don't have a wall, they don't have protection. So when he asks them, how are they doing? And he gets the report. He gets this report on the 9th month. But what happens is he now goes before God and begins to pray. He begins to weep and pray for the people. He confesses his own sin and the sins of the people and the forefathers. Don't miss this. When you repent and turn back to God, then God will listen and heal your land. Are you hearing me? In the state of this particular nation that we live in, the United States of America, it has gone through so many transitions. It has gone through so many things that you wonder, are we ever going to get back to the place of prominence where we once were? Now, because there's a new president elect, people are going crazy. And if you don't like who is going in office, we just had a move of God, huh? See, you're supposed to pray. Pray. Oh, I need my voice to be heard. Where were you when this world was already acting a little foolish to begin with, when they were trying to take the rights of you Christians away, when they said that we had to make certain provisions for transgender? Oh, Lord Jesus, we have left the commandments of God, pushed God out of every institution, and now we want our voice to be heard because someone that has come into office has made you mad? Are you for real? You want to cause destruction here in America, in this soil, and you're saying Donald Trump is going to do it? You're doing it. You're coming against your own brothers and sisters based on color. We all bleed red. That is the blood of Jesus running through your veins. And if you don't know Jesus, let me help you. There's only one living God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. Not me, Marty, but me, Jesus. Oh, my God. How many gods have resurrected? Oh, they were never alive, so it didn't matter, right? Oh, you created your own gods. And then what we want to do is base a theology about what we heard out in the wilderness somewhere and say that God gave it. Really, if it takes it away from Jesus and the cross and resurrection, it's a false deity. It's an antichrist spirit. Now we want to cause all this division that is going on in the streets. It's kind of like what he saw here. The walls of Jerusalem were burnt down. Who burned them down? The opposition. Isn't it something? I would think that God would have brought us back into a grandiose place. But he tells his people, oh, you can go back home now. What are we going back to? Walls that are torn down, burned down, broken. Oh, I wish I had time. I'm trying. Watch this. Go to verse 11 real quick. I promise. Oh. Hey, wait a minute. I said that Apostle Paul preached from day to night. If you fall asleep, we just pray for you. It's okay. If you die from boredom, we'll resurrect you. If you fall down dead, we'll lay hands on you. We're okay? Okay, watch this. Verse 11. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Oh, Lord, revering you. What? Reverencing him. It says reverencing his name. If the demons know how to respond to the name of Jesus, don't you think his children should know how to reverence his name? Instead of using it in vain? Lord Jesus, help us all. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Uh-oh. Watch this. And if in your word, if your electronic device or in your Bible, the next little sentence that's usually by itself, it says, I was a cupbearer to the king. Do you see that in there? Don't take my word. Never take my word. I'm just a man. I can make mistakes. The word of God does not make a mistake. This is what it says. I was a cupbearer to the king. What is he saying? He says, I'm a nobody. Matter of fact, my life is always on the line for somebody else, but I want to put my life in your hands. If the wine is poison, that means I'm about to die because I have to taste it before the king. Oh, you're missing this. Some of the things that are going to come into your mouth and into your sphere can kill you if God wasn't with you. But when God is with you, if something is presented to you and given to you, it's not going to come harmful to you. But don't be like some of these fools that are going to get in front of a pit of rattlesnakes and say, the Lord going to protect me. No, he ain't. You put your foolishness in front of him. Quit acting a fool, making other people coming in church. Oh, they're crazy in here. We may be crazy, but it's biblically centered and sound. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. He says, I don't even have a place of prominence in the kingdom. I'm the one that could die at any moment just to save that king. Okay, let me just ruffle all your feathers then. If you didn't like Obama, if you like Obama, this will ruffle your feathers. Obama didn't do such a great job either. But the individual that is supposed to be there to take any type of deadly poison, if you would, where was the church council at that moment in that time? Oh, we got prophets all around Obama. No, you don't. No, you don't. A real prophet don't care who you are, don't care what position you have, because the most important position is God. I wish they would call a real prophet into the office. And I ain't talking about me. I don't want to go. I don't. Because they're going to look at me. What you got to say? Sit down and learn how to pray. Put the Bible back into school. And quit listening to a generation that is so used to saying no, 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 no. Bring back the switch of old. You wonder why we got a bunch of misfits running around? Because you don't took the power away from the home and the parents to get the little behind red a little bit. You're raising a bunch of misfits that said, oh, if you touch me, I'll call CPS. You better call 911 because you're about to go into the morgue. Where's a real prophet coming in saying, you ain't the one that's going to get this thing back together unless you do it the way God says? This is what this man did. He was right there saying, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die, but I got to pray. The 9th month, he heard the news. He began to pray and intercede for the people. He repented for himself. He repented for the people and the fathers. What did he just acknowledge to God? I'm a sinner. I've done wrong to you. Forgive me. The people have done wrong. Forgive them. And because of our forefathers that taught us wrong, forgive them as well. We repent. What did he just do? He established that we need God in position in our life. Not God number 3 or number 4 down the road. We need God first and foremost to begin to do change in our life. So he prayed. He prayed all the way until the new year. What's this? You think I'm kidding? What's this? Here we are. In chapter 2, it says, in the month of Nisan. In the month of Nisan. That's January. So from September to Nisan, he prayed and interceded. He prayed. He prayed for the people. It didn't happen overnight. The only way we get revival back into this country, back into the church, is getting in our faces and beginning to pray for God to do something mighty and great. But what he did is ask God in his prayer to remember the promise that he made to who? Look at the prayer. He made it unto Moses. Verse 8 says, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people at the furthest horizon will gather them and bring back. So he reminds them of his own words that he spoke. You said this to your servant Moses. This is your covenant. This is your promise. So he gets down in his face, begins to pray. Watch what happens then. Now he says this. He states his position, what I am to the king. And then he's got to go before the king. Now, if you go before the king and you have a sad countenance and you're, you know, you're not real cheerful, like some of y'all that look when y'all come in the morning. It's always hot in here. Do that to the king. You're sent into the prison, if not hung on the gallows. So what he does, he goes before the king, and the king notices that Nehemiah is a little sad. So he asks Nehemiah, what's wrong? What is going on? And this is what Nehemiah tells him. If it was, and I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it, but it's found from 11 down to 20. Watch this. Nehemiah says, you know, I've got report about the people in Judah, the land of Judah, that the city, the walls had been burned down and the gates. He says, what would you have me do? He says, allow me to go and to investigate and allow me to go and rebuild. Now, wait a minute. You see, when you're doing something that the king has placed you in, but God says for you to do something, God's going to put it in the one that he elected to be king. That he elected to be king in that providence to give you favor and to give you a decree to become governor with letters of intent for rebuilding. You better hear this. What is taking place right now? Something is about to change. Something is about to shift. Why? Because God has promoted someone that was a nobody, a no name, had no position and no prominence, but he's going to promote them to be a governor. And not only that, he's going to send them with resources to rebuild. He sends them with letters and with the things that are needed. So they go. He goes out. But what's what I find is so interesting. I love this. I love this. Chapter 2, verse 11. Watch this. Chapter 2, verse 11 of Nehemiah. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Some of the things that you intend to do that God has told you to do, keep your mouth shut. Watch this. This is going to be proof right here what I'm saying. There were no mounts with me except the one I rode on. He said, I have no horses, but the one that I rode on, that's the only one. So he goes out at night. Verse 13. By night, I went out to the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool. But there wasn't enough room for my mount, my horse, to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. Hear this. Hear this prophetically. What is taking place in here in America, we have to go and inspect the city. We have to go and inspect the very entrances and the portals that have been breached. The gates that have been breached and burnt down, we've got to inspect at night. But you can't let everybody know what you're doing. Now he goes back through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priest. I didn't say anything to the lay people, and I didn't say anything to the priests. Watch this. Or the nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. How many times have you got around somebody and started telling them what God has told you and that they're going to be a part of that work? And they look at you like, God didn't tell me that. Huh? Or let me pray about it. Because you go and tell them what God told you to do. And if you ask them, hey, would you like to assist? Well, I got to go and pray because that's not my ministry. Oh, so you'd rather have your gates of this nation be torn down and not rebuilt? That should be a no-brainer. We need to fix what is broken. And when we fix what is broken, we can begin to rebuild. Watch this, verse 17. You get verse 17? You get 17? Oh, I'm going late, I'm sorry. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Watch this, Nehemiah's talking now. Jerusalem lies in ruins, stating facts. And its gates have been burned with fire, stating facts. They know it, they see it. Come, let us rebuild. Uh-oh, now you got someone involved now. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. What happens when you get two or three gathered together? Jesus is in the mix. But when you begin to get two in agreement, you can put 10,000 to flight. Watch what's happening. Watch what's happening. Woo, hallelujah. Help me find my place, Lord. Okay, 70, okay. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Oh, we will no longer be in the state that we're in right now. Something is about to change. This is what he says in verse 8. I also told him about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. What is he saying? I now have permission to do what needs to be done to rebuild what has been broken and to establish his name once again. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. I love the word of God. I love it. It says, now watch, who replies? The people he was talking to. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Watch this. What happens in verse 19? Opposition comes. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing, they asked? Are you rebelling against the king? The moment you get in agreement with somebody to do the things of God, all kinds of hell starts breaking loose and people start talking about you. They start telling you can't do it. And then this is what he says, the hand of God. The hand of God is on us. You got to believe that he sent you from a distant land to do what he said he was going to do. What he has shown you in your dreams. What has been prophesied over your life. You're going to stand as a leader that you are. You're going to walk with such vigor and such power. And begin to lead a people to a place they've never been. People are being sent from different places to go to a new place. Don't fight against it. Just move with it. Because the gracious hand of God is going to bring about victory in your life. Woo! Are you hearing what I'm saying? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Opposition's going to come. Oh, it's going to come. Anytime we start moving and doing something different, baby, it's going to come. Guess what we're supposed to do? Come on, baby. Come on. Let's show them. Let's show them. Let's show them how we do it. Let's show them how we do. When you get a vision and you get instructions from God, you start moving. You start moving. And when opposition comes, you don't address. You said, my God, the hand of God is going to give us victory.
We keep on working. We keep on pressing. And people start following. But when they start working, they also start having weapons with them. They didn't just work and pray. They worked and prayed, and they begin to believe, I've got to keep my sword at my side. Because every time I'm building for God, somebody wants to come and wants to take me out. They want to come and distract you. Oh, come down from that place. What does that mean? God has already elevated you up, and people want to come and tear you down. Come down from that place. We need to talk. Nehemiah said, I ain't going down to that valley of oh no. Oh no, I'm not. You want to talk to me? You better get to climbing where I'm at, because I ain't stooping down to where you're at. I'm building, I'm purpose, and I'm moving towards destiny. And if you don't understand what this is about, you better come up here, because I ain't going down. Why? Why aren't we going down? That's where we started, Kelly. Down. When you're down, the only place is up. Why let something come and tear you back down when God has lifted you up? Woo! Had the word of God in one hand. Had the sword in another. I'm working. I'm building. And if you are not with me, then you're against me. But you ain't stopping my progression. You're not stopping my destiny. You're not stopping my fire. You're not stopping the will of God. Because I got the word of God. I got the spirit of God. And I've got purpose. I got destiny. And I'm moving. I may have everybody come against me, but I'm moving and I'm working and I'm going to finish what God has called me to do. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Come on, come on. One more thing, just one more thing. One more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. One more thing, one more thing. You can't miss this, can't miss this, can't miss this. Can't miss this, can't miss this, can't miss this. You can't miss this, can't miss this. He got it in the ninth month. The ninth month is the fruitfulness. Before you have fruit, you have seed. But you can only get seed from fruit. So finally, he says, finally, because nine is a number of finality. Fruitfulness. I'm going to give you a fruit. But watch what happens on the first month. Things shift. These walls and these gates have been in ruins for hundreds of years. They were rebuilt in 52 days. Five and two. Seven. Seven. I want you to hear what is about to take place. Because right at the end of September in the ninth month, we entered into the new year in the Hebrew calendar. We got a word. 5777 reminds me of God's pager number. He's got a pager. See, when the three Hebrew boys in the previous exile were thrown into the fire, the Bible says that the king told them, turn it up. 7 times hotter. There has been all kinds of things increasing in our land that the fire has been intensifying. But once it hit that 7th level, then it says that what was once bound was loose. What was once there alone now had company. Meaning that the one that turned up the fire is the one that saw the Son of Man in the fire. If it gets intense in your life, start looking around, because something is about to be broke off. Something's about to be loosed, and you're about to see the Son of Man in His glory come in. Are you hearing the word of God? We are in a rebuilding state. The body of Christ is being rebuilt. Woo! Holy Spirit. Watch this, watch this. Oh, I'm going to share this little nugget, just a little nugget, just a little nugget. I promise you. You can put barbecue sauce on it. It's so good. Watch this. Whoa! Watch this. It's good. It's good. In the book of Ezra, is written based on the memoirs of Nehemiah. There's a second account that is written. That's why it's so similar. He's writing about the same thing. You're about to see what was written before about revivals be written again after the rebuilding state of the church. Yeah, y'all don't want this. Y'all don't want this. No, y'all don't want this. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 2 to 3, watch this. On the first day of the 7th month, Ezra, the priest, brought the law of Moses before the people, and he read it to them. Guess what? When the church is rebuilt and the city's rebuilt, the law is no longer contained in the four walls. Ezra took the law and he read it to the people in the streets, in the town squares. What is being said here? We've got to get out of the four-wall church, bring the word of God that what's been contained in the church, take it out to the streets, declare its goodness, declare the power of God, and people begin to gather around and look at what was taking place. He never imagined that he would be the one proclaiming the good news concerning what has just taken place in the city streets. What is taking place in the streets right now has nothing what's about to be displayed in the streets to come. There is about to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God that is going to be done in the streets. The Word of God is going out. Out. I hope you hear this. My God. Outreach like never before. You thought where we were at once before. God says, I have given you a city to take the gospel and raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, set the captives free. Why? Because that is his intent all along. Woo! That's why it's rebuilding time. That's why all hell's been breaking loose. Because he has appointed a king that will give the church favor to rebuild the church again and will take the grips of the government off the church, take regulations off the church, and loose the church. Woo!
Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's Bible right there. Ezra, being a priest, should have went back. Bless the Lord, all you saints. Today's reading is going to come from the gospel that has not been written. I can't contain myself. I tried to do it when I was here. But over the course of the history that has been taking place this past 52 days, something inside of me says I can't do it like this anymore. If you want the real word of God, follow me outside. Because I can't do it like I used to do it. It can't be how it used to be. The collar does not separate me. It's the glory that appoints me. It is the glory that says, do what I've called you to do. And whatever's standing in your way, just walk anyway. Woo-wee. Come on, shake yourself a little bit. Shake yourself a little bit. We're walking. Well, come on, let's walk. We're walking. I know that there was a wall, Popo. There was a wall that as long as we walked 7 times around the wall, then it would come down. But it didn't happen on the 5th day. It didn't happen on the 6th day. They walked and they walked. I think they had a little strut. They had a little strut. They had a little strut. And they walked. And they walked. And they walked. And they walked. People watched them. They watched them. They walked. They had that strut. But there's some people that were following. Said, wait a minute. I know it's the hour of the 6th day. But I feel something happening. This got to happen on the 7th day. Something that has separated me and what has held me up on the 7th day is about to come down on the 7th day. The walls came down. The walls came down. It came down because the people lifted their voice. The people ushered in the presence. The people were the ones that called for the walls to come down. Why? Because it was their voice outside of the church that brought the walls down, that separated the church from the people of the world. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Come on, man. Oh, he's good. Thank you.
Oh, my, my, my. I know. Y'all crazy. Y'all walking around like y'all have purpose or something. Y'all walking around this gym like something really come down. If you really felt it by the Spirit, something's coming down around your house. Something's coming down around your finances. Something's coming down all around you. Some of y'all that been looking for a Boaz. Some of y'all that been looking for a Ruth. You're about to experience a breakthrough. You're about to experience something coming down. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Woo. All right, okay, I kept you a little too long. But I think you got the gist of what I wanted to share. We're in a rebuilding state. Popo, let's get the kids out of Kingdom Kids. Let's bring them in so we can do our communion together as family. My, my, my. I tell you what, that's... Imagine Friday night fire like this. We call it fanning the flames on Friday. Too many people fighting out fire, whatever. Just fan the flame. Fan the flame. All right, let's prepare ourselves for our communion here. If I can have pastors come up here. I want to explain something to you real quick. You can be seated. I'll give you some instructions in a bit of service. So make sure we're off on the recorder. You can turn it off now.